Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Dalid. We left off on daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. We started the Perek yesterday, Perek Zeborer, and we were in the middle of a discussion of the line in the Mishnah, where we had a machlokas in the Mishnah whether one of the litigants can passel the other guy's Edim, and whether one of the litigants can passel the other guy's Dayanim. So we had a machlokas whether you could just directly passel them, or that you need to bring some sort of proof that there's actually some sort of psul, right? That was Rameir Hel, Zeh Posel Dayanus Shel Zeh, Zeh Posel Dayanus Shel Zeh. And the Chacham said, no, that's only if you bring a raya, that they're krovim or psulim, but if they're ksherim or mumchum beizdin, then you're not allowed to go ahead and to passel them. So we were discussing what it means to passel somebody's edim, passel somebody's dayanim. By what right? Aren't you nogea be'edus to go ahead and passel somebody's edim or somebody's dayanim? So the last thing we said yesterday was Ki asa rav dimi amar Rabbi Yochanan, about 7-8 lines before the lines got wide. So we mentioned, we'll just read it quickly again. Ki asa rav dimi amar Rabbi Yochanan machlokas b'shtei kitei edim. The machlokas in our Mishnah is in a case where the other baldin said that he has two sets of edim to back him up. So the Rav Meir Savar Tzarech Levarer. Rav Meir holds, well, if you claim you have two sets of Edim, you're going to need to bring both sets of Edim anyway. So since you're going to need to bring a second set of Edim, the other Baldin can passel one of your sets of Edim because he's not doing anything. He's not nogea be'edus because he knows that there's still another set of Edim that's standing against him, that's going to testify against him. So by passeling the first set of Edim, he's not helping his case in any way. And therefore he's not nogea be'edus. The Rabbanan say, now you could come into court and claim you have two sets of Edim. Bezin's not going to hold you to that claim. All Bezin's going to require you to do is bring Edim. You're not going to have to bring both sets of Edim. And therefore, when the other Baldin passels one set of your Edim, he is no Gebe Edos, because that might be all you have. Even though you claim to have more, it may not be true. Aval Bekasachas, when a person only has one set of Edim, Divrei HaKol in Yachol Pasul, then everyone would agree the Baldin cannot passel the other guy's Edim. Armul from Rabbami of Rabasi, Einsham al Kasachas Mahu. What do you do if there's only one set of Edim? So Einsham al Kasachas, Ramatav Kasachas, Rekalin Yachol Pulsan. What do you mean? What do you do if there's only one set of Edim? That's what we just said one line ago. We just said if there's only one set of Edim, the guy claims and he acknowledges at the outset that he only has one set of Edim, everyone agrees you can't passel those Edim. Ella nimtzeis kashniya krovim upsulim mahu. Now the real shaila is, what if the second set turns out to be krovim upsulim? Then do we believe him to passel the first set? Amar lahem kvari idu edim arishonim. So he said the first edim have already testified, and therefore yes, we do believe him. Ikeda amri amravashi kvari idu edim arishonim. The Ravashi says kvari idu edim arishonim. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains kvari idu edim arishonim. So Rashi in about the 7th or 8th, 9th wide line, kvari idu edim arishonim, says Rashi al kas rishona kishenim tzeis kashniya psula. Meaning, if you went and you passed the first set of Edom, fully expecting a second set of Edom to come in and to testify against you, and then it turns out that the second set of Edom was Krovim or Psulim, we're not going to unbelieve you on the first set. We believed you when you said that the first set of Edom was Psul, because we knew that in the guy's back pocket he had a second set of Edom. Now, it turns out he didn't, because that second set of Edom was Krovim or Psulim, but we're not going to change your Ne'amanus L'mafreya on the first set of Edom, so you're still going to be believed on the first set of Edom. Says Gemara Vayter, name of Beplukta, the Rebbe, Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel, Kamifelgi. This seems very similar to the famous machlokas between Rabbi Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel, Abba Basra machlokas. The Tanya, we have a brisa, habal lidon b'shtar u'b'chazaka. Let's say a guy comes into court and he says, this house that I'm muchzik in, I know it's mine and I'm able to prove it's mine in two ways. I have a shtar that says that it's mine, and I have a chazaka. I've been living here for gimel shanim, so I have a cheskas gimel shanim on this house. So nidon b'shtar divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, we tell him, okay, forget your chazaka. You have a shtar? Shtar is the first level of raya in terms of ownership of property. What do we have? We have a chazaka in case people lose the shtaros, because we assume that people don't hold on to the shtaros for more than 3 years. We assume if a person wasn't ma'arer, the marakam wasn't ma'arer in the first 3 years, years that he's not going to be ma'arer afterwards. So we have such a concept called chazaka. But shtar is really the primary source, the primary proof that you own the property. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Amar Nidam L'chazaka. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, we're interested in the chazaka. If you claim you have a chazaka, so you're going to have to bring Eidei Chazaka V'Avinan Ba. And we ask on Rav Shmuel Gamliel, B'chazaka V'lo B'shtar? Does that make any sense that we're more interested in the chazaka than we are in the shtar? The shtar is obviously foolproof. So why wouldn't we look for the shtar instead of the chazaka? Ela ema af b'chazaka. No, what Rav Shmuel Gamliel meant to say is that obviously you need to bring a shtar if you said you have a shtar, but we're saying that you need to bring a chazaka too. Meaning if you said that you have two levels of proof, even though Beis Din doesn't generally require two levels of proof, all they want is one or the other. Bring a shtar, bring a chazaka, whichever way you want to prove it. Typically, that's all you need to do. But you made a claim, you went out of your way, and you said that you have two things, two levels of proof. Then you're going to need to verify both of them. So it seems that the machlokas is whether tzarech levarer and tzarech levarer. When you come in and you claim to have more than you need, do you need to then go and show that you've got all that, that you've got all those levels of proof? So says Gemara, and that's the same machlokas that we had when you come into Beis Din claiming you have two sets of witnesses. So the machlokas, do you need to bring two sets of witnesses, or is it good enough to bring one set of witnesses? So says Gemara, lo, alibidur mishum gamliel kuliam lo pligi. That's not the machlokas. Within Rav Shmuel Gamliel, everyone would agree that that you don't need to go and be mevarer. Ki pligi alibe de Rebbe. The whole machlokas is within Rebbe. Rav Meir ka Rebbe. Rabban Namilach ad kan lo kam Rebbe hasam. Rav Meir is directly like Rebbe, and the Rabban will say to you that no, Rebbe only said al bechazaka de mi koach shtara kaasi. Rebbe only said, what did Rebbe say that nidon b'shtar? He only said nidon b'shtar in regards to when you have a shtar, when your claim was about a shtar and a chazaka. Well, the chazaka only comes mikoach a shtar. The chazaka is very much connected to a shtar. What do we mean it's very much connected to a shtar? If Reuven asks Shimon, what are you doing in my house? And Shimon says, what do you mean? I've been living here for 3 years. That's not good enough. Shimon has to say, what do you mean? I bought it from you. I had a shtar that said that I bought it from you. Oh yeah, where's the shtar? Well, it's been 3 years, so I don't have it anymore. But I could prove that I've been living here for 3 years. So that's how chazaka works. Chazaka she'ein ima taina, zeina chazaka. If a guy has a chazaka, but he has no taina to go along with the chazaka, to claim that it's actually his, it's not going to be a good chazaka. Chazaka works off of the koach of something that existed before. It has to be that there was a sale, that there was a shtar, that there was something to verify that it was his, and it's just that it's lost now, so chazaka takes its place. Aval hacha, but in our case, tahani edim lav mikoach edim acharini kaasu, one set of edim has nothing to do with the other set of edim, afilu Rebbe modedein tzarek levara, then it could be that even Rebbe would be moded b'chia gavna, in such a case, that you don't need to go be mevarer and bring both sets of edim. Fine. Ki asa Ravin am Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The last explanation of the machlokas from Meir and the Chacham in our Mishnah was Rav Dimi am Rabbi Yochanan. Now Ravin also says a different version of the machlokas, but in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So ki asa Ravin am Rabbi Yochanan. Reisha be'edim sulim v'dayanim ksherim. The case of the Reisha is that the Baal Din passed the dayanim. And the Edom, he tried to passel both of them. He said both the Dayanim and the Edom are passel. And it turns out that we know for sure that what he said about the Edom is true. He told us, you better look into these Edom, they're Krovim, they're Mesachim, Bekuvia. He comes up with some way that the Edom are passel. We look into it, and he says, and the Dayanim are passel too. We look into the Edom, and it turns out, yeah, the Edom are passel. Everything he said about the Edom is actually true. So then what do we do with the Dayanim? Migo de pasli edim pasli nami dayani. So the Reish is telling us, why does Rameir hold that you have the ability to pasl the other guys, the dayanim? Who are you to pasl dayanim? It's because you've already proven your credibility in terms of pasling people. You've claimed that his edim are pasl, and it turns out you were right. So therefore, we believe you in regards to the dayanim as well. Seifa, in the case of the Seifa, we believe you to passel the other guy's edim, but dayanim psulim v'edim ksherim is talking about a case where you tried to passel the dayanim and the edim. It turned out that we know for sure you're correct about the dayanim. Demigo to passel the dayanim, passel nami edim. Migo that we believe you to passel the dayanim, we're going to believe you to passel the edim as well. Once you've proven your credibility in passeling the other guy's in passing people that are involved in the case, so then we believe you to passel whoever it may be, even the edim that are about to testify against you. Maskef la Rava, so asks Rava, wait a second. There's a big difference between carrying this migo forward from edim that we know are passel to allowing you to passel dayanim, and carrying it forward from dayanim that we know are passel and therefore allowing you to passel edim. Big difference. Bishlam migo to passel edim passel nami dayani ikbedina achrina. I understand very well that you're going to say a migo that you're believed to passel the edim, you can passel dayanim also. That's because it doesn't kill him if you passel his dayanim. No, at the end of the day, you'll always find other dayanim. So you won't go to this beis din, you'll go to another beis din. Hopefully there are enough honest bati din out there, and there are enough qualified bati din out there that passeling one beis din is not going to affect the case that much. You'll go find a different beis din. Elamigo to passel dayanim, passeling ami edim, va'edim suveka. What's the guy supposed to do? But just because you were believed about the lack of Ne'amanus of his dayanim, that necessarily means we're automatically going to believe you without any proof about his edim. Where's he supposed to get other edim from? Just because you were proven right about the dayanim, that's enough to make it that you're going to be able to pass all his edim? He's not going to be able to find any other edim. That will kill his whole case. So now the case must be that there is another set of edim. Because if there's no other set of edim, then you're not going to be able to go pass all his edim. Meaning, what's the key point over here? So what? He won't be able to find Edom. Why is it my responsibility to make sure that he should find Edom against me? So the key point is in the first skinny line of Rashi. Ika be'dina achrina, says Rashi, ve'enu nogea be'edos. If I passel as dayanim, I'm not nogea be'davar, because I know that just because these dayanim aren't going to try the case, doesn't mean no dayanim are going to try the case. We'll find another beis din. Another beis din will try the case. The fact that he sues me in this beis din, and I passel these dayanim, doesn't mean I'm off the hook. So I'm not nogea be'edos to passel these dayanim. Anyway, I'm going to have to face a beis din, but when I passel the edim, I know that if chances are he does not have any more edim. These are it. This is his proof. So if I go and I claim that these edim are pasul, I'm very much nogea be'edus to claim that these edim are pasul, because without these guys, he's got nothing on me. So that's what the Gemara answers. No, it must be that he has something otherwise on me. He has two other edim that could testify against me, and therefore I'm not nogea be'edus about the first set of edim. So in fact, the Gemara, halakha kasacheres mai, hachanami delomasi pasli, hainu dravdimi. If you're going to say that if there's no second set of witnesses, that he's not going to be believed to passel the witnesses, well then that's exactly the case of Rav Dimi. That's exactly the case that Rav Dimi described. That's exactly the way Rav Dimi described the machlokas in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's machlokas b'shtei kitei edim, where there are two sets of witnesses. No, ikabinayo migo. The marsav ramin migo, marsav la ramin migo. No, the nafkamina is, do we believe you just through the migo? Do we believe you by saying that, look, you were right about the dayanim, and therefore you must be right about the edim as well? That's the real issue. What does this mean, that marsav ramin migo, marsav la ramin migo? Migo is the concept we have in all of Shas. The Gemara Ksubistav Yechesem Bey says, hapesha asr hu hapesha hitir, that if a person says that something's asr to him, he's then believed to say why it should be mutatim, and Tosa says that it works me din migo. And the Gemara darshins, hapesha asar hu hapesha hitir, from psukim. So how can you say someone doesn't hold the migo? It's drashas from psukim that you hold the migo. So what you have to say is, and what's clear, is that this migo is not like a regular migo. A regular migo in the Gemara is very much mistaver. This migo is much less mistaver. Just because I told the truth about that doesn't mean I'm telling the truth about something else. A regular migo is like a call that if I really wanted a lie, I could have said a much more believable lie or a much more powerful or effective lie for myself. So that's a migo. Migo that I could have said that, believe me on this. But over here, it's a much weaker form of migo. It does not seem to be related to migo throughout all of Shas. Problem is, Rashi, in the second skinny line over here, says, Rav and Savar, Amrinan migo bi alma. That Rashi seems to make it, puts in that word bi'alma, seems to make this machlokas about whether we accept migo out there in general. It's much easier to explain that it's not about bi'alma, it's about whether we accept migo here, because this migo is a very weak kind of migo, but bi'alma, everyone's going to accept migo. Okay, gufa. We had said previously, Am Reish Lakish, Pek Hodesh Yomer Dover Zeh, the Reish Lakish said, right, we said one daf ago, in yesterday's daf, the Reish Lakish commented about Reb Meir, how could it be, Pek Hodesh Yomer Dover Zeh, such a holy mouth would say such a thing, Tani Edo, that you have to say Edo, not Edov. So says Gemara, not about the content of the machlokas or of the discussion, but the Gemara just analyzes the language that Reish Lakish uses, the language of reverence that he uses in talking about Rabbi Meir. Eini v'amarula haroes Reish Lakish b'beis ha-medrash kilu oker harim v'tochman zebzei. You know how chashuv Reish Lakish was? When Reish Lakish would learn in the beis medrash, it's as if he would uproot two mountains and grind them together. That's how impressive his prowess in Talmud Torah was. So someone like that is going to talk about Rabbi Meir like he's something unbelievable, like he's a malach or something. Reish Lakish himself was so great. Why is he talking about Rabbi Meir with such reverence? Amar Ravina v'lo kalaro Rameir b'samedrash kilu okar hari harim b'tochlin zebazet. Says, yeah, you think that's impressive that Reish Lakish was able to be okar harim? You should see Rameir, the guy he's talking about. He wasn't just okar harim, he was okar hari harim, which I guess is many mountains. Like my son drew a picture of me and him, and he said, Abba, for you, I use my best color. I said, oh, your best color? Wow, I think he'd use it for you. What did you use for drawing yourself? He said, I used my best color. Oh, okay, well, then there's something that's even better. So, Oker Harim, yeah, that's good, but Oker Hare Harim, that's the best. So, Rameir, he could speak about Rameir with such reverence, because Rameir was that great. So, says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Borei Kam Mechavin Ze'ezeh. All I really meant to say is not that it's a question, how could Reish Lakish speak so reverently about Rav Meir? No, that's not the issue. The issue is he tried to make a point of, look how much they loved each other. Ki Hadi Yasav Rebbe V'kamar Asul Hatmin Asetzonein. Just like the story where Rebbe was once sitting and he said, you know what, not only you're not allowed to do Hatmana of warm pots before Shabbos, there's a halach of Hatmana on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to insulate something on Shabbos, or even before Shabbos of B'davar Amosav Hevel. Rabbi said, you're not even allowed to do Atmana on Sonein. And Amr Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was sitting in front of Rabbi, and he said, Abba, hitir lahatmin eset Sonein. You know, my father, Rabbi Yossi, said that it's mutter to do Atmana on Sonein. Amr Lech kvar horizakin. So Rabbi says, oh, your father said so? Kvar horizakin. The zakin is already paskin. Who am I to argue? We'll leave it at that. Amr Rav Papa, so Rav Papa commented on that whole episode, look how much love they have for each other. The Rebbe just bows out of the way when Rabbi Yossi issued a psak. You should know that if Rabbi Yossi was still alive when that was going on, Rabbi Yossi would have sat down and would have been kafuf in front of Rebbe. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi would have been kafuf in front of Rebbe? Isn't that speculation? So says Gemara, no, it's not pure speculation. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was Mimali Makom Avosav. Doesn't only mean he took over his rabbinic position. It says Rashi, Mimali Makom Avosav means that he was Chashuv Kaviv, that he was every bit as Chashuv as his father was. And still, what happened? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who was every bit as Chashuv as his father, was Kafuf in front of Rabbi. So you don't think the father, who was equal in stature, would have been Kafuf from a Rabbi? He would have been. And still Rabbi was willing to say, if the Zakin Paskin, he already Paskin. So about someone who would have been Kafuf in front of him, Rabbi was willing to say Kvar Horizakin. So that's a comment about the respect they had for each other, that each one held the other in higher esteem. Amr Rav Oshia, May dechsiv ve'ekach li yashnei makalos le'echad krasi noam le'echad krasi chavlim. What does the pasuk mean in Zechariah when he says, "Now I'll take for myself two makalos. One of them I'll call Noam, and one of them I'll call Chovlim." Noam elu talmid chamish Eretz Yisrael. The term Noam is a reference to talmid chamish Eretz Yisrael sheman imin zelaza b'halacha, that are very pleasant with each other in their halachic discussions. There's not much fighting in halacha in Eretz Yisrael. They talk very softly to each other. They're much more pleasant. They support each other. V'chovlim elu talmid chamish Bavel shemechablim zelaza b'halacha, and Chovlim are talmid chamish Bavel who their style of learning is that they fight each other in halacha. They're always going against each other in halacha. The Esvahev Besufel, the Gemara in Kiddushin Darshins, that even though the Nasim Ka'ivim says that they're like their enemies with each other when they're learning, and at the end of the day there's going to be Ahava because of the learning that they did together, but while they're actually learning it looks like they want to kill each other. It's like Rav Shachter always tells the story of the non-Jew who wrote a memoir of his travels through Europe, and he happened to have been on the same train as the Mir Yeshiva, as the Mir Yeshiva was going to Shanghai, and he described how he didn't understand these strange young men, these strange young Jewish men. They would take out these big, enormous books, and when they would take out these books, they would start screaming at each other and yelling at each other. They got into fights, and they hated each other. Then they would put the books away, and all of a sudden, they're best friends again. It's like he said he didn't understand how that worked. That's the concept of Esvei Besufa. That's the Babylonian style of learning, that when they talk in halacha, they're ready to kill each other when they talk in halacha. They're yelling at each other. That's the way they arrived at the correct halacha, by challenging each other, as opposed to the style of Eretz Yisrael, was by supporting each other. Instead of challenging, but to support and to show, oh, you say like that, I have a raya this way, maybe you could refine it a little more. So a way of just supporting each other in halacha, rather than going against each other in halacha. It's two personalities. It's a way of some people's personalities. Some people thrive in an environment of pressure, and some people thrive in an environment where they're constantly being supported and coddled and told how great they are. So that's that was the style, difference in style between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Vayomer, El Shnei Bnei Hayitzar Haomdim Ushnayim Zesim Aleha. So Yitzar Amrav Yitzchak Elu Talmidich Chacham Shaber Eretz Yisrael Shenochem Zalazab Alacha Kshem Zayis. Yitzar is a reference to the Talmidich Chacham in Eretz Yisrael who are so pleasant with each other in Halacha like Shem and Zayis. Ushnayim Zesim Aleha Elu Talmidich Chacham Shem Bavel Shem Rurin Zalazab Alacha Kzayis. But the actual olive is bitter. Or it should be Kaali Zayis probably, right? That the olive leaves that are bitter. But whatever it is, that these are that's a reference to the Talmidich Chacham and Bavel who are very bitter toward each other, like the Zayis. The Netziv in his Haktamot, his Perish on the Shiltos, attributes the difference in style between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi to the Siyata Deshmaya that you would get in Eretz Yisrael, that when learning in Eretz Yisrael, the Avir Dar Yisrael Machim, and therefore they didn't need to challenge as much, they didn't need to fight as much in order to arrive at the MS. But in Bavel, the challenging and the fighting was important because they didn't have that extra Siyata Deshmaya to arrive at the Amita Shel Torah. So they used the ability of pilpul and of fighting and of going back and forth in order to arrive at the Amita Shel Torah. And that's why the Netziv says, if you open up any page of Talmud Bavli, you're unlikely to, you have as good a chance of not seeing a Mishnah on that page as you do of yes seeing a Mishnah on that page. Sometimes the Gemara will go on for 10 blot without a new Mishnah. Well, sometimes even more. In the first paragraph, we only had one Mishnah without seeing a new Mishnah. In Talmud Yerushalmi, it's Mishnah, small paragraph of Gemara, Mishnah. It's much, much more quick in terms of getting from one Mishnah to the next. Why is that, says the Netziv? Because the style of Talmud Bavli had to be in such a way that there was pilpul and back and forth and fighting and challenging, and that's how they were able to arrive at the Amita Shel Torah. In Eretz Yisrael, they were able to arrive at the Amita Shel Torah without that, without the fighting back and forth. Okay, says the pasuk. Ve'asa einei ve'eira v'inei shtayim nashim yotzos v'ruach b'knafeihem u'lehena knafeihem k'knafei achasida, that there were these two women that were going out with the wind beneath their wings, and they had wings like the wings of the chasida bird. V'atisa'en ha'eifa b'en ha'shamayim v'en ha'aretz, and they carried the eifa between heaven and earth. V'omer ala malach ha'dover bi'anehema malichos es Hey Eifa, and I said to the angel who spoke to me, where are they bringing that Eifa? They're bringing it to build a house in Eretz Shinar, which is Bavel. So the question is, what in the world is going on in that pasuk? What are these two women with wind and wings and chasida? What in the world is going on? Some Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Zu Chanufa v'gasus haruach sheyardu l'Bavel. It's describing poetically the midos of Chanufa, flattery, and gas haruach, arrogance, that are both midos that went down to Bavel. What is the reference to Chanufa, and where do you see that in the pasuk? So ruach b'knafeihem is a lashon of gasus haruach. Kikanfei hachasida, that's a reference to Chanufa, that they're showing themselves to be like chasidim, flattery. So v'gas haruach l'bavel nachas, fract the Gemara, wait a second, gasus haruach went to Bavel? That's where there's arrogance, that's where we find gaiva. V'amar marasar kavin gasus yardu li'olam tisha natla ilam v'achas kol olam kulo. But didn't we learn that there were 10 kavin of gasus that came down into this world, 9 of them were taken by Elam, and 1 was taken by the rest of the world. So you see, it wasn't in Bavel that there was a gas haruach issue, it was in Elam that there was a gas haruach issue. Answers the Gemara, in the Bavel nachis, v'shtarvuvi d'shtarviv l'Elam. It went to Bavel, but then ultimately it rolled over and ran into Elam, rather than being in Bavel. Deikanami d'chsiv livnos labayis be'eretz shinar. Shema mina, it says livnos labayis be'eretz shinar. So you see clearly that it at least went to. It says livnos labayis. Doesn't say livnos lahem bayis. That the bayis, the permanent dwelling of, is only going to be for one of these midos, for chanufa. Gas saruach is going to end up somewhere else. So gas saruach ended up in Elam. V'amar mar, simen l'gas saruach anius v'anius l'bavel nachis. So frak the Gemara, but wait a second. How can you say that the gas saruach did not end up in Bavel? Didn't we learn that the simen of gas saruach is anius, and anius ended up in Bavel, meaning there was never poverty like there was in Bavel. So don't you see, therefore, that there must be gas saruach in Bavel? Answers the Gemara, no, my anius. You know what simen gas saruach anius means? It means anius Torah. When people are lacking Torah, that's when they're usually most arrogant. Ironically, you would think that people who know the most would have the most reason to be arrogant. People who are lacking the most in learning are the most arrogant. And we know that Bavel was the center of Torah learning. This is Elam, which was zocha to learn, was not zocha to teach. My Bavel, what does Bavel mean in general? What does the term Bavel mean? Bavel means that it's an area that's absorbed fully with Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, with all three major areas of Torah learning. That's a reference to Talmud Bavli, sitting in the dark, like the Mesei Olam, where, as Rashi says, where people don't get along, and therefore the Talmudam suffer. They don't have certainty in their learning because they're always challenging each other, and you never know if your shtickel Torah from today is going to last till tomorrow because someone's going to challenge it and fight with you over it. So that's a reference to Bavel, that you're always in the dark because there's always a suffix about the learning. So a couple of things over here. First of all, my Bavel, what kind of kasha is my Bavel? What is Bavel? Read the pasuk. Pasuk says Kisham Bala Hashem Safak Al Haaretz. It's pasuk in Chumash. That Bavel was created by the Dara Flaga. Kodesh Baruch Hu was mixed all the languages together, and that's what Bavel means, that it was all mixed together. It has nothing to do with Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So what kind of question even is my Bavel? And the answer isn't the Pashut answer, what it says in Chumash. So the Maral in the Chidush HaGadol says that no, we're not asking why is it called Bavel. We know it's called Bavel. We're trying to say that when the Chumash called it Bavel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed things together in that location, we're trying to ask how that's reflected in our generation. Where do we see nowadays that the innate nature of Bavel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Bavel at that time, as described in the Chumash, where is that reflected nowadays? And that's what the Gemara is saying. It's reflected in the way that they learned, that they came up with the Talmud Bavli, which is Balul B'Mikra, Balul B'Mishnah, Balul B'Talmud. Second important point over here, on that idea, Baal B'Mikra, Mishnah B'Talmud, so says Tosfos, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the B'Talmud Shalanu, Onu Potrim Ratzeinu, Masha Amru Chachamim, La'olam Yishal Yishadim Shnosov, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Shas. There is a Gemara that says, Gemara in a couple places, in Avodah Zarah, in Kiddushin, the Gemara says that a person, when determining their learning schedule, should divide the schedule into three parts. A third of the time in Mikra, in Tanakh, a third of the time in Mishnah, and a third of the time in Gemara. So says Rabbeinu Tam, how come nobody ever does that? You go into any yeshiva in America or in Israel, you go into any yeshiva and you're going to find that they're studying Gemara 10 hours a day, and Halacha a half hour a day, Musar a half hour a day. Maybe you'll find some guys learning Mikra on their own, learning Shnai Mikra Vechatargum or something, and maybe you'll find some guys learning a little bit of Navi, a Perek a day or something for 20 minutes, and Mishnah, also, maybe, if there's a yard site or something, you'll find some people learning Mishnah. What happened to Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud? Of splitting our day into three even parts. If you're learning 12 hours a day, it should be 4 hours of Mikra, 4 hours of Mishnah, 4 hours of Talmud. Isn't that what the Gemara says? So says Rabbeinu Tam, no. The Gemara over here is the justification. Because since Talmud Bavli is Bavli B'Mikra, Bavli Mishnah, Bavli B'Talmud, on any given page of Talmud Bavli, you have Mikra, you have Psukim, you have Mishnais and Talmud. So that's why by learning Talmud Bavli, we cover ourselves in all areas of Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. And then he says, but just in case people don't do Daf Yomi, just in case people aren't learning Talmud Bavli, Aval Bikein Anu Korim B'Kol Yom Parshas Talmud V'Shonu B'Mishnah Seizu Mekomen V'Gorsim Rabbi Shmolam V'Shol Shasem Midos. Just in case we include Mikra Mishnah and Talmud in our daily davening. Again, the guys who don't learn Daf Yomi often aren't on time enough to davening to catch up on that part, right? But to actually say the Mikra Mishnah and the Talmud in the actual Tefillah, and that way your Yotze Mikra Mishnah and Talmud each and every day. The Rambam writes that the idea of Yishalish Adam Shnosav, the Rambam says, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Rambam says that no, you're really supposed to divide it up into three even parts. But we don't, says the Rambam. No, when it says that it's supposed to be even, that's when you're younger. Because no one can deny that it will take a lot longer to master Mishnayos than it would to master Tanakh, and it will take a lot longer to master Talmud than it would to master Mishnayos. So it doesn't make sense, educationally, to set up a system for your whole life where you're going to be splitting the time evenly. You're going to end up knowing Mikra very well, and Gemara almost not at all if you split up your time evenly. So says the Rambam, no, in your younger years, you should split it up evenly. When a person is very young, and then once they've already been through Tanakh, they've mastered it, and they've been through Mishnayos, then the emphasis has to switch to primarily on Talmud, and you just have a little bit of Mikra and Mishnah in your daily schedule. But the emphasis should switch at some point over to Talmud. And the Shachlo says, based on our Rabbeinu Tam, that our Rabbeinu Tam is the raya why we don't teach our, is the justification why we don't teach our kids Tanakh in school, why we don't have enough of a Tanakh curriculum, is because we're being somech on the Rabbeinu Tam that the Gemara covers it all. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Mavol, the Sefer Emes Yaakov, in his introduction to Sefer Emes Yaakov, that it's a terrible avla. He says he doesn't understand what the Shach is talking about at all. The Shach says that that's our justification. What's the Rabbeinu Tam saying? The Rabbeinu Tam is talking about our daily schedule. He says Rabbeinu Tam is not that different than the Rambam. The Rabbeinu Tam would agree that at some point in your life you need to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So when you're young, you should really learn through Ben Chamish LeMikra. A child between the age of 5 and 10 should be learning Mikra through and through. Ben Esser LeMishnah, between the age of 10 and 15, he should be learning Mishnayos through and through. And then once he starts learning Talmud, he should have a little bit of time during the day where he's still learning Mikra and Mishnah. But that's assuming he's already been through it all. The idea of Talmud Bavli covering you is assuming you've covered it. You've already done Mikra and Mishnah. Now you just need to include a little bit of Mikra and Mishnah in your daily schedule. But in terms of just as a concept of having learned the entire Mikra Mishnah, Talmud Bavli doesn't excuse you from that, because you can learn all of Talmud Bavli and still not know Mikra Mishnah. It doesn't quote every pasuk as seder and in context. Maybe the assumption is that every time the Gemara quotes a pasuk, that we're going to look it up in context and we're going to read the whole parak. That's okay if we're able to do that. So then maybe maybe we would cover all of Mikra Mishnah and Talmud. Now this idea, the final thing I just wanted to point out, v'machashkim hoshivani. The Rashi writes that because we're not Nochem Zezeb Alacha, so they had that Sveikos in Bavel. The learning wasn't as strong in Bavel. And that's what you find in Sechz Yuma Daf Nun Zayin. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Bavloi Tipshayi, Mishum Dedari Bar De Chashucha Amri Shmaita De Mechashkin. That the Babylonians are fools because they live in a dark land. That's why their Torah is darkened. They don't have a strong Torah. However, it should be noted, the Rambam in his Tshuvas Perador, Simon Peves, writes that it's not the Kol HaDoros that it was like that, that in Bavel was dark and difficult. No, in the days of Abaye and Rava, in the days of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, there were shmados and there were problems, like the Gemara Mesiyah Pevav says, but then ultimately Niskabra Torah beBavel. Ultimately, Bavel became a real center of Torah where people knew a tremendous amount of learning. So whatever statements the Gemara makes about difficulties in learning in Bavel were subject to change based on the generation. So that's an important hara. It wasn't something that was always like that in Bavel. Okay, says the Mishnah. Just by the way, in the learning schedule thing, the Mechaber and the Ramah split along the lines of Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam. That's why in Sephardic yeshivot, they're much more makbid to learn Mikra Mishnah properly. And the Ramah, Paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, now we have Talmud Bavli. So not as makbid to learn Mikra Mishnah properly. They split La Halacha on that level. Okay, Mishnah. Amrlo, Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Avicha. If, let's say, the guy says, I trust my father or your father, or Neman Alai Shlosh Roy Bakar, I trust Shlosh Roy Bakar to be involved as what? You trust them for what? So Rashi says, Leo's Dayan, to be a Dayan. Not everyone agrees that that's what it's referring to. The Torah Chosh Mishpat Simon Chav Beis talks about this halacha in regards to a diet. But if you look in the Rif, and the Avdalar Amaral from Yidapi Arif, he discusses this halacha in regards to being Mekabalem as Eidim also. I say, Neman Alai Abba to be an aid, Neman Alai Avicha to be an aid. The Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Halacha Bayis, writes that someone who's Mekabal of Karov Apostle, Bein Li Yoso Dayin, Bein Li Yoso Eid Alav, that this is a discussion both in regards to a Dayin and an aid. The Tosfos Yontif writes that Rashi is also modded that this din is shaykh to Edom as well. He just mentions Dayanim as a chiddush because the Mishnah Nida, Perek Vav Mishnah Dalit, says that anyone who's kasha ladun is kasha lahayud, but they're yesha kasha lahayud veinu kasha ladun. So Rashi figures if he says that we're talking about being makabel someone to be kasha to be a dayan, then Meili is also kasha to be an aid. In the reverse, it wouldn't necessarily work. That's why Rashi focuses on dayan. So let's get moving. So Rameir says you can always change your mind after that and go back on that. Chum say no, you cannot change your mind on that. You can't go back on it. If a person was chayiv a shvua, but instead of taking a proper shvua with the proper lashonos, he just says darli b'chay roshcha. Rameir says you could be chozer and then later on demand a real shvua. The Chum say no. Once you were willing to accept, I promise or whatever it was, darli b'chay roshcha, then you can't go back and say, you know what? Now I really want a shvua. It's too late to go back and really want a shvua. The Kovitzaris of Elchanan, Kovitzaris in the beginning of Perek Mitzvos Chalitza, says that Pashas Bar Mishnah is that when you're Mekabel, Abba or Avicha, it's a Mechila, it's a Hoda'a, something like that. But he says the problem is that that the Rush and Tosfos Nida, Memtes and Beis, say by Chalitza that you could be Mekabel al Atzmo, a Ger. Now a Ger is a Psul. So what does it mean you could be Mekabel in Chalitza? You could be Mekabel a Ger to serve as to say Neman Lai Abba. So he says, how can that be Shaykh by Chalitza? By Chalitza there's no Mechila, there's no Hodah. It's just a technical din that you need Kasher Dayanim. So what does it mean Mekabel Lai Abba, Mekabel Lai Avicha for a Chalitza? It doesn't make any sense in terms of the concept of Mechila or Hodah. So Rav David Willig once pointed out to me in the name of the Rav, in the name of Rav Salvechik, that if you look in the Ktsos, the Simresh Samach Ozayin, he asks how we can allow a ger to serve for Dina Mamnas as a dayan. The Rambam holds that in order to be a dayan, you need to be roi l'kol advarim, and a ger is not roi l'kol advarim because a ger is not roi to serve as Dina Nefashos. So Rav Salvechik explained that a ger is not pasul be'etzim. There's no psul gavra on a ger. It's just meaning he knows enough, he has whatever he needs. It's just that it's a psul minui, that you're not allowed to appoint him to a position of srara. That since you can't appoint him to a position of srara, mimele can't be done din nefashos. So a ger really is roi l'kol advarim, and therefore all the kashas fall off. So over here as well, by a ger meikra din, he's roi to be done by chalitza. It's only a psul minui. So when you're mekabel al atzmo, as specifically to myself, that I'm mekabel this guy to serve my chalitza, so that gets over the psul minui. Now, it's not going to get over a psul if it were a real psul, because a mechila hodah doesn't work on a real psul. But a psul minui would get over. Fine. Says the Gemara, Amar Avdim Breid Rav Nachum Breid Rav Yosef, Kigon de Kibble Alei Bechad. The case is where you're mekabel the Abba or Avicha as one person, not that you accept them in place of everybody. Amar Avdim Breid Shmuel Machlokas B'machulach. The whole machlokas is in a case where the Tovea says to the Nitva, I'll trust Abba or Avicha, in the sense that if they say that you don't know the money, Amochel, you won't know the money. Aval be'etin lach, but what if it's the Nitva that says that I trust Abba or Avicha, and if they say that I do owe the money, then I'll give you the money, then divrei hakol yachol achzibol, then everyone would agree, you're allowed to back out on such an agreement. Rabbi Yochanan amar lach be'etin lach machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, the machlokas is in the case of etin lach. Iba ilhu, what does Rabbi Yochanan mean by that? Be'etin lach machlokas al machlach divrei hakol ein yachol achzibol. Did he mean the machlokas is by etin lach, but by machalach, everyone would agree you cannot back out? So maybe the machlokas is both by machalach and by etin lach. Tashma, Dama Rava, machlokas by etin lach, aval b'machalach divrei hakol ein yachol achzibo. Rava understood that the machlokas is only by etin lach, but by machalach, everyone would hold that you can't be chozer. So iam rabishlama by etin lach machlokas, aval b'machalach divrei hakol ein yachol achzibo, Rava Dama Rabbi Yochanan. So if that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, then then that's great. Then Rava lines up perfectly with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan only says the machlokas applies by etin lach, whether you could be chazer, but by machlokas lach, everyone would agree that you can't be chazer. So Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are perfect. Eliam bembezu machlokas. But if even Rabbi Yochanan held that the machlokas is both by etin lach and by machlokas, so who's Rava going like when he says the machlokas is only by etin lach and not by machlokas? Rava damar kaman, he's going like nobody. So says Gemara, Rava taimid nafshei kamar. Who does Rava have to go like? Rava's an Amora. He doesn't have to be in line with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. He has a third shita. If a person is chayav a shvua and instead he takes the secondary lashon of a shvua, not a full fledged lashon of a shvua, Rameir says you can back out. The Chum say you cannot back out. My love, Bosan and Shvan v'lo Meshalmin. Aren't we talking about the cases of a shvua where the shvua gets you out of paying for something? Tavelik machalach, which is exactly the case of machalach. So says Gemara Lo. No, we're talking about the case of a shvua derabanan where you nishba v'notel davale ke'etein lach, and therefore it's more similar to the case of etein lach. Ay v'atana le'resha, we already had this in the resha, meaning we already had the resha where we discussed etein lach. So why would you have the machlokas by etein lach twice in the same mishnah? Says Gemara, tana tala b'das acherim v'tana tala b'das atzmo. The mishnah wants to discuss cases where you rely on other people's das, and cases where you rely on your own das. Utsricha, ditana tala b'das acherim. Had it only taught me a case of tala b'das acherim, meaning where I say that I trust Abba or Avicha, when I'm not relying on myself at all. I'm hoping that Abba and Avicha see things my way. So b'hakam Rameir d'matzi hadbe. I would say that's where Rameir says you could back out mishum d'lo gamar makni, because you couldn't have possibly been so serious about that, about relying on other people's das, because it's out of your control, and therefore you're willing to back out. Damar mi yemer, you want to back out. Damar mi yemer d'mezakile, because you don't know how it's going to turn out. Avol tol b'das atzmo emi modu l'rabbanan. But by tol b'das atzmo, maybe Rameir will be modu l'rabbanan that you cannot back out. V'yashmin b'ha, and if it only taught me the case of tol b'das atzmo, b'ha kamir rabbanan av v'hi emi modu l'rabbanan Rameir. I would say, yeah, that's where the rabbanan say you cannot back out, but otherwise, maybe they'd be modu to Rameir in the case of tol b'das acherim that you can back out, tzricha. The whole machlokas is only before the Gemara Din. Once the Gemara Din happens, it's too late. You can't back out. You can't say, oh, they paskin against me? I changed my mind. I don't trust them anymore. So that's very logical. Rabbi Yochanan says a phenomenal chiddush. Liachah Gemara Din machlokas. That even after the Gemara Din, there's a machlokas where a mayor says you could back out. What do you mean by that? The machlokas is the Akram Gemara Din, but before the Gemara Din you can back out? Or maybe the machlokas is both the Akram Gemara Din and the Fnei Gemara Din. Tashmasui brings a proof. Da'amar Rava, kibalav karav apostle of Fnei Gemara Din, yachal achsebo. If you're makabal karav or apostle before the Gemara Din, you could back out. Liach Gemara Din ain't yachal achsebo. After the Gemara Din, it's too late. Iam bishlam liach Gemara Din machlokas of Fnei Gemara Din devarakol yachal achsebo. Rava da'am Rabbi Yochanan v'alibid Rabbanan. Then it would turn out that Rava is going exactly like Rabbi Yochanan in the Rabbanan's point of view. Eliam bein bazu machlokas. But if you hold that the machlokas is both liach Gemara Din and the Fnei Gemara Din, Rava da'amar kaman. Who's Rava going like? Elav Shmamina, Lachar Gemara Din Machlokas. Shmamina, so it must be that the Machlokas is Li Achar Gemara Din. So just ending up in terms of the halacha, Shalokh Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisla, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Yom Den Rabbeinu, Lefnei Gemara Din Machlokas, or Li Achar Gemara Din Machlokas. Which is it? Is it Machlokas before the Gemara Din or after the Gemara Din? Valach Divrei Mi, and who do we paskin like? Shalokh Le Lachar Gemara Din Machlokas, Valach Divrei Chachamim. The Machlokas is the Achar Gemara Din, and we paskin like Chachamim. Rav Ashi Yamar Hachi Shalokh Le. No, the shayla that he sent him was, Be'etin Lach Machlokas, Abu Machlokas. Machlokas v'alach k'divrei mi. Was the machlokas by etein lach or by machlokas? And how do we paskin? Shalach lei be'etein lach machlokas v'alach k'divrei chachamim. B'sura masnu hachi, that's how they taught it in Surah. B'pumbedisa masnu hachi. But in Pumbedisa, they had the conversation as follows. Amar b'chinir b'ashlami, shalach lei mi bei rab l'shmuel, yalamdenu rabbeinu, l'fnei gemar din machlokas v'kanu miyado mai. What if there was l'fnei gemar din v'kanu miyado? What if it was before the gemar din, but they certified it with a kinyan? Then can you be chozer? Or is it since you made a kinyan, you can't be chozer anymore? Shalach lehu, ein la'achar kinyan klum. If you made a kinyan, there's nothing else you could do. You can't be chozer once a kinyan was done.